was 18, the summer between my freshman and sophomore year of college, I worked as a banquet waitress at an upscale restaurant in Baldwin, Long Island. Now, to be a banquet waitress, you had to have a certain sort of skill set. You had to have that talent to be able to serve large numbers of people the exact same meal. I was a gal. At one wedding reception I served, there was this just impossibly handsome young guy, mid-20s, wearing a tuxedo, and throughout the wedding reception kept asking me for my name and number, but I had a policy. Even then, I had a policy, and my policy was, you know, you really can't assess a man's character from his behavior at a wedding. I mean, it's sort of an alternate universe where men dance. Also, you know, a tuxedo can make anybody look normal. Now, let's just think of a really, really bad man. And I mean, Elliot Spitzer comes to mind. Maybe you don't think he's bad, but women in my generation, we would like to spank him and charge him 50 grand for the experience. I mean, even, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer probably cuts a fine figure in a tuxedo. My point is, the tuxedo makes everybody look okay. So I rebuffed this guy. You can imagine my surprise when the next day and the next day and the next day, he calls me at home. When I return to work, I find that my boss, the banquet manager, has given him my home number. Isn't that illegal? I think. But apparently, you know, he was just so giddy with excitement that this guy had gone to so much trouble to describe me. I mean, we all wore the exact same uniform. A black polyester dress. I mean, even our hems had to be a certain number of inches from our knee. I think that's illegal. But he said to me, Janet, I knew he was talking about you when he says to me this. He says, I tell you what, she was funny. Great, funny. I never really thought of funny as a physical attribute when I was in my teens. I mean, now clearly it's my best feature. So I guess this guy got some points for persistence in my parents' book because they started to say things like, well, why don't you just go out with him? You might have a nice time. He's very nice. My dad said it might be a story to tell. Foreshadowing! So the next time, you know, he called, I agreed to go out with him. I knew immediately it was just a bad mistake. I mean, persistence, tenacity, boldness, these are the qualities that we find in the captains of industry and CEOs and serial killers. I'm upstairs in the bedroom I share with my younger sister. I'm looking out the window waiting, you know, for the date. And a mail truck pulls into my driveway. It's painted over in like a public pool blue. It's a refurbished mail truck. I say to my sister, you know, I wonder why the mail's coming so late. And she says, uh-oh. It's not the mail, it's your date. He gets out of the car, truck, you know, and he's in like a shiny disco shirt. He looks like he stepped off the set of Saturday Night Fever. It's open to here. His whole outfit's flammable. And apparently he's wearing some kind of necklace because I hear my dad saying, it's a very unusual choker you're wearing. So I go downstairs. I mean, there's no putting this off. And I zero in on the choker. And there's a Coke spoon, cocaine spoon, hanging from the choker. I know it because I paid attention during the drug scare movies they showed in public high school in the 70s. But, you know, I'm nothing if not polite. I say to myself, now, Janet, perhaps you got the wrong impression of this young man due to the drug paraphernalia he's wearing around his neck. So I leave my house. My mother says, have a nice time. My dad says, you know, nice meeting you. It's like a scene from The Waltons, only directed by Tim Burton. He takes me to a bar. I'm underage. He leads me to a booth I get a sick feeling that, you know, he's done this before. He puts one arm around me and one hand on my leg, and the other hand lights a cigarette in the other hand. I mean, he had a lot of hands. I don't know if you're getting this, but, you know, I was the kind of girl, I kind of still am, that, you know, I went to the library. Remember the library? And I would take out, like, my limit of books, I would read them, and I would return them on time. I mean, I knew the words to every Broadway musical of the day. I was like a young Sandy from Greece, and he was like nothing on Broadway. He was like Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs. And, you know, it was silent. I mean, I don't know if you're getting this from me. I could always make conversation, but I tried. My voice came out in kind of a funny way. I mean, I tried to talk to him. I said, "How'd you like those tenderloin tips I serve you?" I mean, but, you know, he was not a talker. He was, however, a squeezer. A major, like a squeezer of the Charmin. Are you getting this? I began to be really afraid in the way that only women of my generation could be afraid, where we're sort of paralyzed with this fake smile on our faces. I mean, where was my inner Wanda Sykes saying to me, "Jen, look, he's a loser, he came in a mail truck, he's wearing a goat spoon." I'm sitting there, I'm smiling, I'm thinking, how can I extricate myself from this scenario? You know, but at the same time, I tend to sort of look at the bright side of things, you know, and I couldn't help but thinking, you know, my parents actually encouraged me to go on this date. This is ironic. This is kind of funny in a disturbing and dangerous way. I mean, I won't be able to tell my parents, like, a thing about this until now. If only I would have known that I would grow up to be a minor humor columnist in the back page of the regional sections of the Baltimore Sun. I would have known it was just research. So anyway, we're at the bar. I knew I had to get myself out of that booth. So I feigned interest in this arcade game that he said he was the high scorer at. You know, LaDawn is left, but she would tell you, that really does it for most of us women, you know. High score in a arcade game. So he kept ordering drinks, and I kept pouring my drink on the floor. And until I could see that he was really getting kind of unsteady. And then I tapped my watch, and I said, "Oh, look at the time. I have to work a party tomorrow at 9. And he's like, "What kind of wedding reception's at 9? I was like, "Oh, no, it's not a wedding, it's a bris." I don't know, it just came to me, there is a God. So I drove the mail truck home, as that had been one of my dreams. I escaped his final lunge, and I don't know how he got home. So where's the look on the bright side? I mean, I insist on it in all of my stories. You know, where's the happy ending? Well, would you believe that this Coke spoon-wearing guy is here tonight? He's sitting there with one of our three children.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand!
My husband of 27 years. Would you believe that this, you know, Verizon vice president and center stage board member is that guy? No, you would not believe that, because it's ludicrous.